It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
From one elite broadcaster to another. Final hour, Inside the Gamecocks, the show, presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands, RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Phil, JB, JC, Derek will be along here in just a moment, and we will get well into tonight's matchup, this series between the Georgia Bulldogs and the South Carolina Gamecocks. Gamecock Traditions wants to remind you about the $7 tickets. If you can get out there tonight, the weather will blow through this afternoon. $7 tickets for the series this weekend between the border rivals, the Dogs in Carolina. But if you want to look good, of course, Gamecock Traditions has got you covered there. They will donate a portion of all of their proceeds with the Carolina logo on anything you buy in the store or online. And that portion will go to the Garnet Trust, and that will continue to promote name, image, and likeness at the University of South Carolina. So obviously, thank you so much to Gamecock Traditions for what they do for the Gamecocks and for supplying our 30-ounce Yetis with the Carolina logo on them that we can put 29.5 ounces of bourbon in and leave that final half ounce to make sure that it doesn't overflow.
Oh, I thought that was for the ice cube.
One cube. You get one cube.
One
cube. But it's got to be the square cube, you know, the frozen square cube, Phil. You don't want to just drop a bunch of ice in there and water it down.
No.
So Gamecock Traditions.
Sparingly.
Where something's always on sale as well, by the way, at Gamecock Traditions. Really, really great segment there with Debbie. Can't thank her enough. And we will have her back soon once she gets over that $1 million mark. We'll make sure she gets back in to discuss a lot of what she was able to achieve during that time, and she will get over it. It's crazy. It's crazy that she's at 94% all time shooting free throws. Wow. Let me give you a quick update too on this. Carolina softball, of course, wins late last night and set to play today. They beat the 6-seeded Mississippi State Bulldogs 8-4. They've got the late game tonight that was initially scheduled for 8:00 against Texas A&M. Unless there is a miracle of sorts when it comes to 10-run rules and playing the game of softball in the fastest amount of time ever known to men or women, they ain't playing at 8 because they have been in one hell of a rain delay in Auburn, Alabama. Number 5, Missouri, and number 4-seeded Arkansas We're set to begin everything today, and they don't even have a start time still. So Carolina is going late tonight against A&M. How late? Don't know. We're waiting to find out from Auburn, Alabama. But with that said, everybody be safe with the weather. The weather will be blowing through Columbia, South Carolina today. It's expected to be out of there by 4 o'clock. They'll throw the first pitch at 8. Derek Scott will be on the air at 7:45, trying to keep Stuart Lake, you know, on the straight and narrow. Maybe this week, Stu will be able to see from the booth. I know he will, because I know what booth they sit in on top of Founders Park.
It's a good view for up there.
And give everybody, a good glimpse of what's actually happening instead of having to guess every time the ball is hit in Columbia, Missouri. Right, Derek?
Yeah, man. Stuart and I talked about it after three nights in Como and one night at Winthrop Ballpark. He's never been so excited to get back to Founders Park.
The true meaning of there's no place like home. Yeah.
It's going to be like a trip to a resort for the next 3 days. Absolutely.
I heard him say that on the Winthrop broadcast. No disrespect intended, but man, I can't wait to get back to Founders Park. No doubt. You know, where you're treated like, I don't know, this is baseball, and here's a clear view of the field since you're calling the game. Isn't that normal? No,
I don't know. And some space, some room to spread out, you know, windows that actually open. It's
running water. It's amazing.
Novel concept.
Yeah. Well, they escaped, Derek. They escaped last weekend and got out of there with a series win, slipped in the D1 projections, but they are winning.
You going to pull my string and get me started on the D1 projections already? I've been on 30 seconds. You going to get me wound up about that?
No. He had to. I was going to do it if he didn't.
I was just giving it a minute.
It made no sense. It made no sense because they moved them up in their rankings and then moved them down.
Prisoner of the moment. That's what those guys are. Last week, they've fallen all over themselves, loving the Gamecocks because they beat Kentucky in a series. And 1 week later, they're falling all over themselves loving Mississippi State for the same reason, because, well, you know, winning a home series against Alabama when half of Bama's team's in the hospital with food poisoning or whatever that was is somehow something to be championed. I don't understand why they're so excited about Mississippi State right now, for starters. But more importantly, Fitt said it, and I love Aaron Fitt, but he said it on the podcast, and then he doubled down and said it to David Kleininger in a story, basically saying it was a real missed opportunity that South Carolina didn't sweep Missouri. At what point did it become the expectation that you ever sweep a series on the road in the SEC? That has never, ever been considered the bare minimum expectation. It's you got to win the series. And that's what South Carolina did. I can't believe Fitt even said it. I actually, when he said it the first time, I thought, he didn't look closely. He thinks we played that one at home. He got the wrong Columbia. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, because take a look at Missouri's schedule this year and tell me who else has swept them in Columbia. The only team that I know that got swept in Columbia, Missouri this year was Florida. I just don't understand how that suddenly became a ding on us to have not swept Missouri. I just cannot grasp how the D1 guys turn that into some sort of a negative. And I mean, it doesn't matter. They're not on the selection committee. It just really stunned me that they dropped. I mean, they were, if you listen to the podcast, it was down to the very last host spot, and they were debating South Carolina and Oregon State, and they'd already put Georgia and Mississippi State in. I just can't get my head around that, but whatever.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know how much I've defended this resume thus far, and they've got a chance to improve it even more this weekend and next weekend. I mean, somebody else in the SEC has as difficult of a road in as the Gamecocks do. I don't know who it is.
No, and that's the other thing that gets me with the whole Mississippi State comparison. There are four teams in the league this year who are elite that are clearly above everybody else. It's Kentucky, it's Tennessee, it's A&M, it's Arkansas. South Carolina has already played three of the four, and they'll play the fourth before we're done. You know how many of those teams Mississippi State's played so far?
Who knows? Yeah.
They lost two or three to A&M. They get Arkansas this weekend at Arkansas, and then they're done. When it's all said and done, they will have played six games against the top five in the country. South Carolina will have played 3, 6, 9, 12, 14, because you throw Clemson in there. South Carolina will play 14. So to me, that's apples and oranges if you're trying to compare our resume with theirs. they've got a one game better record in the conference. Well, hell, I would hope so, because they have had the lightweight of all lightweight conference schedules so far. They didn't do anything to create that. It fell into their lap. But if you're evaluating these things, if you can't dig deep enough to look at those two things and take that into your consideration, then you're either lazy or you just whiffed, because that to me is the first thing you got to look at. Is Mississippi State has had a real kind of break this year in terms of how the conference schedule laid out for them. And yeah, they've made a big jump, and happy for them. Love Justin Parker. Really happy to see the success he's having there. But let's not sit here and act like the playing field is equal between these two teams and what they've had to, attack through the course of this season, not just in what I just described, but also the non-conference slates are nowhere close to comparable. So anyway.
Well, and so let me take this a little bit. I know we've only got you for a few more minutes, right, Derek? You got to get out of here.
Yeah.
But let me take this on that note, but slightly off course here. And don't misunderstand a word I'm saying. I am not taking anything at all away from Georgia. Very scary baseball team. Very scary, especially offensively. And hat tip to them for what they're doing under West. First-year coach, Wes Johnson, that came up from LSU. Vanderbilt came to town. Gamecocks swept them. Vanderbilt came to town. Georgia swept them. Vanderbilt is terrible on the road, Derek.
Yeah.
Like, they've won one game on the road this year. Is there anything in that that's like, yeah, maybe, like, they beat the crap out of them at home? I get it. Hat tip. You did an incredible job. But they are flat awful on the road. Is there anything to take from that or no?
I don't think so. I said it from the time we played them. That is not a good Vanderbilt team. Their offense has been lacking physicality the last 2-3 years. Last year, they brought in the one guy from the portal from Duke, and he was there in terms of, you know, a bopper, a guy to kind of lead their lineup. He was it, and he's gone. That's a lineup that's kind of feeble. And what they don't have this year that you usually just take for granted with Vanderbilt is a dude on the mound, or maybe two dudes. Guys, somebody who's being discussed as a first-round draft pick. They don't have that guy this year. I mean, to me, Vandy is not even to me at this point, I don't think you can take for granted they're going to make the NCAA tournament. They're not playing well at all. In the last 2 weeks, I think for them, are pretty stout. I think they've got Tennessee and Kentucky, maybe. I could be wrong about that, but they've got
you're right.
tough finishing stretch. And that was the other thing that got me is you know, Fit and those guys saying that, well, you know, that South Carolina didn't do anything wrong other than that they didn't sweep Missouri. Okay, again, that's what's wrong. But secondly, they really want to prop up Georgia for that sweep of Vanderbilt. And a prisoner of the moment, just dig in and look and see who else swept Vanderbilt. That shouldn't, just because we did it a month and a half ago, I don't understand why you're so excited about rewarding them about it now. But it just seems like that was a completely different perspective that they took this week compared to last week. And I just hope the committee's not following along with that, because most of it felt like nonsense that you could just squash them on if you were given the chance to debate them about it.
So. Well, hopefully the committee is following along with the schedule this weekend. So Derek, the number that stands out to me from last weekend is 5. That's the amount of innings that the starters threw for South Carolina. Yeah. That ain't going to get it done against these next two opponents. They're going to have to go deep.
I hear you, but let's just face it. We're all old, and we are used to pitching being done a certain way, and that is starters carry the weight. And it's just not that way anymore. I mean, you know, it feels like more and more pitching coaches have just accepted the fact that if I can get you through the lineup one time, anything above that's a bonus, which is nuts for us, most of us of this age group, to really – wrap our heads around. But as long as you're eating the innings effectively, I guess it doesn't matter as much who's eating them. And the one thing was last week, you know, Dylan Eskew, when he walked off the mound early Sunday, there was legitimate concern that he'd hurt himself. And then it turned out that it wasn't anything that serious. So I'm hoping you can throw that one out as something where he felt something in his forearm and it scared him, and he couldn't get his focus back. I'm hoping that's where that stands. Eli, I can't figure Eli out. First of all, Eli got no help from his defense Saturday. I mean, none of those runs I don't think showed up as unearned, but we all know 2 of the 4 runs in the first inning happened because Ethan didn't cover the bag when he should have for the third out. And then, Gavin had to throw away on the ground ball later. So I'd like to think Eli can get it back together here too. There's no sign of any physical issues with him. You know, I talked to Matt Williams. He just thinks Eli's trying to do too much. He's a leader, and he's trying to go out there every week and set this tone. Hopefully he can allow himself to relax a little bit. Because you know what? You're going to give up runs to this Georgia bunch. Nobody's shutting this bunch down. You're just going to have to hang on your offense to go out there and do the same to their pitching. So,
100% agreed on Eli. It's all right here, and he'll be okay. Roman's going to get the ball tonight. I know it's a spin rate thing. I know what's going on. He can't figure it out, but I know they've worked on it, and they feel better about where it is. You hit the nail on the head. You're dead on. You're going to have to score runs to beat Georgia, no matter who you pitch. We talked to Holbrook this morning, and I said, we gave every scenario in the book. I can't wait to hear you and Coach Lake go through this tonight because you're going to do it. You did it last week. You're going to do it tonight. What do you do with Charlie Condon? You know, if the bases are loaded and you're up three, do you just walk him and just give up a run? So that is just the most fascinating question, I think, going into this series with this cat.
You're right. How much do you pitch to him? How much do you just ask someone else to prove it instead of a guy who's – I mean, I was digging through some notes early this year from Keith Law, and he pulled his date off of Synergy. I don't have access to Synergy. But there was a point in time earlier this season where Charlie was only swinging and missing on 10 or 11% of the fastballs he was seeing. That's crazy. I mean, the dude, he hits everything. His bat speed, if you're there tonight or if you watch on TV, his bat speed is just elite. I mean, there are very few guys here ever going to consider for the what the scouts call 1-1. First pick, first round. And to get that consideration, you have to be two things: productive as hell and athletic to an nth degree. Most of the greats that are really good college players, but nobody talks about in that role, it's because they're typically not that athletic, because they're clearly producing if they're getting the conversation started. You got to have both sides of that, because scouts love the athleticism side of it. They want to see how you project. But then you also have to be just dominating this level, or why would anyone think you're 1-1? And he's that guy, man. I mean, he's got the athleticism that they're putting him in center field some of the time right now, and he's certainly not a center fielder, but he's not hurting them out there. I think eventually in the majors, he's a first baseman or a right fielder. Maybe a third baseman, I don't know. But point being, he's that kind of freakish dude, and I would not for a minute go down at night thinking, I let that guy beat me. Not when you know what you're dealing with there. Make someone else prove it. You know, we tried that with Caglione, and he still managed to hit one home run every game, but you pitched around him a bunch. You made Shelton do something, and he only hurt you once. So I'd lean that way if it were me, but it's not. So.
The last couple of time superstars have come into this ballpark, it has not ended well for them. Last year, Florida brought Jack Caglione into town. They were swept out, and LSU came to town with Paul Skeens, and Ethan Petrie hurt his feelings, as did a couple of others. Ethan Petrie and Cole Messina get a chance on national TV today and tomorrow to prove that they're right up there, at least in their heads, with Charlie Condon, who – surely the broadcast team on TV will be gushing over. I'm going to give everybody a little, let me give you some advice, and we're going to let Derek go, but I'm going to do this in front of Derek. It's on national TV. It will link. It's going to be a lot closer now. If you just cut on the radio and mute the TV and listen to these guys, it will be pretty darn close, and let them call the game. Because where are you, Derek? You're actually in the...
I'm there. I promise you, I'll be there. I'll be there enjoying the friendly confines of the Tommy Moody press box. Believe me, the Tommy Moody broadcast booth, excuse me. I will be happily ensconced in that space and no longer sharing a broom closet with some creatures and critters that were in there with us last weekend.
It's an old smelly Coach Lake. Damn, the guy needs to shower.
I didn't know mosquitoes existed in Columbia, Missouri. Definitely not in May, but they were in there too. I mean, it was just
ridiculous. Dude, you got to be classy because you got to go back up there and call games. That place just sucks. Everything about the whole trip sucks. Nobody.
The only way it can be worse is if you get sent out there in March.
Yeah. Oh gosh!
If you talk to Chad, he remembers. Yep. He's the only guy that had won a series out there prior to this weekend. And we were, well, not we, I wasn't there yet. They were out there in March. Because I remember Moody and Demetra just being mystified that they were calling a game with showers or flurries coming down. So, yeah, you start every year by looking at the schedule and figuring out when are you going to Kentucky? When are you going to Missouri? Hoping like hell that neither one of them happen in March. You get them both later in the year and then flip that for Florida. Don't send us there in May where you have a delay every day because of thunderstorms. You want to go earlier than that with those cats. So anyway.
Well, I know you got to go. 7:45 airtime tonight. This is a strange series with the start times, guys. 7:45, 5:15 airtime for Derek and Stewart tomorrow. And, 1:45 airtime on Saturday. Is that right? Okay. Yep. All right.
You've heard us all talk about it enough. You've got it in your brain. I like it.
You can't thank you. We just said this to Debbie Antonelli, who's on right before you. You guys, what y'all do makes it fun. It makes it so much fun. So, as always, hat tip, and you know the drill. Go get us some wins, Derek.
You got it. You guys take care.
Thanks, man.
Derek. Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. There you go. The great voice of Gamecock baseball, Derek Scott. Guys, I don't know how much more to emphasize this. The trip to Missouri sucks. There's nothing about the trip that is – let me tell you something. You don't have a turf infield and a grass outfield. That's just stupid. All right. You don't have an extra turf mat on the pitcher's mound over the turf pitcher's mound. That's just stupid. All right. You don't have 2,500 bleachers and 13 fans. Did anybody listen to the game on Saturday after the weather delay? Were y'all listening to the game? I was listening to it in the hot tub and Maggie. Decided to cut off. Dude, Coach Lake counted the fans.
Coach Lake counted
them. How many fans were in this? It was like a T-ball game. They literally could count the fans that were in the ballpark. The facilities suck. The trip sucks. The weather sucks. The hospitality sucks. The music sucks. Everything out there sucks when it comes to taking a trip to Missouri to play baseball. The whole thing. Nobody likes playing there. Kick them out of the league. Somebody get rid of these asshats, you know, like
I don't understand the whole mixed match field. I don't get that. You do one or the other, you know, you either commit to grass and dirt or you just go all turf, you know,
dude, it's a pitcher's mound. It's dirt. You don't have one dude, not one. There ain't one cat in the state of Missouri that could take care of the pitcher's mound. Yeah. Not one. You don't have anybody in the whole state.
Yeah, you can't complain weather because you're not growing grass on a dirt mound. I mean, you know,
it's a pitcher's mound. Like, come on, man. Like, I mean, dude,
listen, it's too much math for them to figure out how high it needs to be, wide. It's a little much.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It just sucks. Like, so you get out of there. And to his point, because I'm a big Aaron Fitt fan and Kendall Rogers, I think you can criticize him, and he has every right to criticize him, but they're better than all the rest of them. And college baseball is fairly well covered by the baseball associated outlets. But those guys are the best. But yeah, like to his point, if I would have been on there, I would have been like, whoa, Kendall, Aaron, you ever played baseball at Columbia, Missouri? Go ask LSU, Florida, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt. I don't care. Name somebody. Nobody goes up there and sweeps them. Like you look up fifth inning every game, and it's like you're waking up. Shoot, I forgot we're still playing here, guys. We need to score. Oh, okay. Place sucks. So you get a win, and you get out of there, and they did. And now they're home to one of the best ballparks in the country, and it's going to be rocking tonight. It is 1:24. Speaking of rocking, JC should have rocked his Carolina baseball jersey today, but he didn't. Maybe he'll put it on during the break. We'll hit that now, and we'll come back with more in a moment.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia. Yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's. 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, you know, the heart issue that, but, you know, ultimately let a Big Ten stop. But he originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of it. Heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cocks.
Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show. JC, JB, and Phil from the Cinerama Studios. Thanks so much to three wonderful people, Chad Holbrook and Debbie Antonelli and Derek Scott, for joining us on our program today. Just tremendous guests. If you happen to miss any of that, you probably want to go listen to all three of those conversations. They're all really, truly incredible in their own ways. And can't thank them enough. We'll continue to look at this series quickly, and then I want to get into some football with Schubert here. But quickly, elsewhere around the league, it's another one. LSU's fighting to – they're in the first four out, by the way. LSU fighting to get into the postseason. They got to go to Alabama. They don't play till tomorrow. Tonight is the only game in the SEC between Carolina and Georgia. Kentucky is at Florida this weekend. Incredibly important series for the Gators down there. Auburn is at Missouri. Oh. Hey, man, where's the last place you'd like to be on earth? You know, I think I'd like to go to Missouri and watch 3-21 Auburn play at Missouri. That's what I want to do. Oh, you sure? You don't want to bang your head into a brick wall 20 times and see if you bleed? Like, who? There will be not. There might.
I was supposed to say, there might be three fans there.
What? Wait a second here.
And that all depends on whether Auburn travels this year. Oh,
if I'm Auburn, if I'm anybody on the Auburn team, I'm coming down with a stomach bug. Are you kidding me? Like, somebody give me some expired milk, man. I'm drinking a half gallon of it. I'm puking my guts out, and I am not getting on the plane. Yeah, no way.
A shirtless Bruce Pearl is not going to appear at the stadium this weekend in support of the baseball team.
Oh God, this league is so good, but Auburn sucks, and playing at Missouri sucks. And you put those two things together, you could pretty much figure out, right? It sucks. Yeah. Tennessee's at Vanderbilt. That's a really big, but what a blue collar series for Vandy. Mississippi State is at Arkansas, and Texas A&M is at Ole Miss. Same thing with Ole Miss. So Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and Florida, and they're all really, you know, kind of playing to stay in the tournament or get in the tournament, right? And they've got A&M, Tennessee, and Kentucky coming to town. What a blue collar weekend. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it was like, but you know, it'll be interesting. That moving weekend definitely lived up to the hype.
Yeah,
and then you know, you got two banner weekends to close the SEC slate out. I mean, I can understand why D1 would, you know, even consider the Gamecocks not hosting just because of who they're playing. But I mean, there's other teams playing too. That's what I don't understand. It's like there's other teams playing that are vying for spots in the postseason A and for better seeds than they currently are. But I shudder to think that, you know, at the end of these two weekends, Carolina is actually like, just as they were last year, darlings in the RPI, and that's the reason they get in. I think their resume and their play put them in a much better position than D1 projected. But, you know, hey, everybody needs engagement.
I would say it's in the middle of that 10 and 16. They're probably
The game got sweep this weekend. Florida sweeps Kentucky. Vandy sweeps Tennessee. The Gamecocks go into the final weekend of the season with a chance to win the whole ball of wax of the division. So,
yeah,
just to let you guys know,
all right,
still on the table, right? Yeah,
what happened to all that one in a million talk?
I'm serious.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I think we can all agree, Vandy, and Florida are capable teams of that are running out of time to make anything happen,
right?
You know, over in the West,
Missouri sweeps Auburn this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so.
That's the only sweep that happened.
So for the overall title, I mean, I guess, but Carolina holds the tiebreaker against Kentucky, and they would hold and Vandy, and if they sweep Georgia and Tennessee as well.
So fire Kingston, fire everybody, fire your mom, fire JC.
If they sweep the last two, I mean, they're probably like an overall national four seed or something, I would guess, but. Because Derek did make a good point about the top four teams in the league and, you know, how Carolina's fared against them so far. So far, you know, it's what's 3-3. Well, you count A&M. That's, you know, what are they, 2-2 against the top four teams in the league? Or, I'm sorry, 2-4. No, I'm sorry, 4-5 against the top teams in the league. You throw a sweep up there of Tennessee, that's 7-5. And then Georgia's definitely on, you know, very hot team right now as well. So you could make a case. And look, I'm not counting it out. I've seen Carolina do things like this before.
They
six games to go. Need to win all six. Okay, let's do it. You know,
they need to. I mean, the best case scenario for South Carolina. I mean, obviously, what happens around them will always dictate everything. But if you want to keep it in your own control, split the next three. Go 3-3, finish 16-14 in the league and in your hosting. And if you go 4-2, whether that's a sweep of one of these teams and just salvaging the other or winning both series, it would probably be even better. you will be a top eight national seed. A 17-13, if you win the next two series, your RPI is, they're at 14 right now. They slipped once overnight. And by the way, you need Vandy to keep winning. You need Vandy in the top 25. That's three quad one wins. So they're at 22 in the RPI. They need to win. But if you are the Gamecocks and you happen to win the next two series, your RPI will be well inside the top 10. It'll be somewhere between 5-10. And you'll be 17-13 in the league, and you will be sitting on 37 wins. You'll be at 37-17. With 16 quad one wins, there isn't a soul that's breathing that covers college baseball that would actually be able to look at that and say, yeah, you know, you played 30 games against quad one competition this year and won 16, but we don't think you're one of the best eight teams in the country. Like, that would just be the dumbest argument. I mean, you need to lose your credentials if that's what you do. So, but you know, one game at a time, and it starts tonight. Can't win any of them unless you win two this weekend.
No, I mean, but the Ray Tanner philosophy of, you know, win the series at home and don't get swept on the road. Just employ that, and then let's go on to Hoover. That way, you can go to Hoover and not have to hope for the best.
Well, one thing this Tanner asked about his team too, they did quite well in the midweek games this year.
Yeah, only dropped one.
12-1. But that's not, I'm sorry, that can't be true, because message board bandits will tell you that they're terrible in the midweeks.
Well, I'll tell you something else. Right. Regardless of how anybody feels about Mark Kingston and his entire career, if they host a regional this season, right, that's three out of the last 4 years they've hosted a regional. South Carolina hosted a regional once between 2015 and 2021.
Yeah, 17 or 16.
The 16 did it.
2016.
But that was and this is a program that for, I guess, 10 out of 14 years under Tanner and Holbrook hosted, because after Tanner left, 13 and 14 were both clearly easily regional hosts. I mean, has it been this dramatic turnaround back to the top? No. But it is trending in a better direction, I think. I don't think that's even up for debate if you look at those stats. So Martin says 2021 doesn't count. Why does it not count?
Yeah, what am I missing there? Modern it.
Our standards should be higher than just to host a regional. I'm not saying that.
Guys,
should be the
standard. I'm gonna shut this down right now.
I didn't say it was the standard. I'm gonna address this.
Not yet. Like, we're not turning this into this. Like, I'll get out of here.
Pointing out quickly, very factually, that hey, hosting a regional again is something that we all were kind of used to doing for a while. That it got taken away, and now it's back. And that's not.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you. I don't mean you.
I said it as a thing that's kind of. Yeah, I mean, I sat here and wrote it all out, and was like, "Well, this happened then, and then now this has happened now, so that's good. You know, that's a positive thing." I don't think a lot of people realize that, because we're also caught up year to year in the moment. But
yeah,
the whatever the standards are and all that, we'll get into later. But I do think that it is an accomplishment, considering everybody kind of took it for granted for so long. But it got taken away, and like, boy, it'd be nice to be at Founders this weekend, right? Instead of
on
the road, beginning or worse, not in the tournament.
Yeah, right.
You know, that was kind of a tradition. It sucked to have the stadium empty in June. So I think that that's a positive. That's a step in the right direction. So think,
that, and it's crazy too, JC. To your point, and I know we got to probably slide to a break here in just a second, but to your point, like when you look at the rest of the SEC, and how good this league is, and how fluid everything still is with only six games remaining, which is just, it's just wacky to even think that, like you just gave the scenario a minute ago where Carolina can technically still win the SEC East. But think about the fact that even Alabama, probably after this weekend, I with one loss, they'll be eliminated from contention. But going into it, you've got Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, A&M, Mississippi State, and Alabama all in position now. They're not all hosts. Don't misunderstand. But all in position to host. You have seven projected hosts right now. How much all of that could drastically change after the weekend? You could have Georgia. You could have South Carolina out of host positions. You could have Vanderbilt with a huge sweep this weekend of Tennessee, back in pole position to bring a host site to Nashville. You could have Mississippi State all the way out of this thing. You could have Alabama back knocking on the door if they were to sweep a weekend series. Like, it is crazy. I mean, there's still a scenario where Texas A&M, probably not necessarily Tennessee and Arkansas, but Texas A&M could just blow the whole thing and slip to a two seed. Like, that's how much everybody in this league beats each other up from, and they're all ones and twos, really. I don't even know. I mean, Florida, I guess, would be projected as a three. If LSU or Ole Miss played their way in somehow, they'd probably, God, would you want to face LSU as a three seed? Are you kidding me? So, no. You know, I mean, that's just, it's just so crazy to think about all that, how much everything is still so fluid in this league with that. That middle portion is nuts, man.
Yeah, and look, people better get used to it, too. You better get used to being 16 and 14 in the league. In fact, if you look back at the – very rarely does anybody win 21, go 21 and 9. Those are special years. Nobody's probably ever going to go 25 and 5 again like Carolina did. But you're bringing in probably the best program of all time in Texas. Mm-hmm. And then a really solid Oklahoma. You know, they're probably – Oklahoma's a lot about like Arkansas. Maybe a little bit less accomplished, but they're good.
They'll be hosting this year, yeah.
Right, yeah, now. I mean, so you're bringing in – I mean, it's – in football, you're bringing in two brands that have been kind of, you know, up and down, particularly when they faced SEC competition through the years. In baseball, there's no such – I mean, that's – they're a bunch of studs, you know, so – it's going to get even more difficult and all that. But I do think that what made this program great once upon a time was the consistency in it. And I think that, you know, if you look at hosting regionals as an accomplishment, and it is, it certainly is, because you'd rather be doing it than not. I don't care what the scenario is. In 2001, UCF, we talked about this, Phil, yesterday with Mike, about Blake Taylor's amazing afternoon that I was there to see at the Sarge in 01. South Carolina was not the number one seed in that regional. UCF had a bad, terrible ballpark. They were the number one. Gamecocks ended up eliminating them. So that was in 01. I mean, you're not throwing that back. I mean, you know, you don't throw things back. I mean, that's dumb. So well,
the 03, the 03, you're talking about, you said 01? No. Do you mean 03?
No, 01. It was UCF. Came to Columbia one seed.
Yeah, that's
Carolina
right.
Carolina was with 4-team regionals. And then they won, and then Carolina went to Stanford for the Super.
Right.
It was the year after. That's it was right. Kip Bocknight's senior year. And Carolina lost to UCF on Saturday. Came back Sunday. Blake Taylor saved game one. I think it was an 8-6. And they started. Blake Taylor, by the way, was like 160 pounds soaking wet. They started him in game two. And this UCF team, Mike remembers, was loaded. Right.
Yeah, they were good.
Future pros. And I remember sitting there with my ex-wife, watched 9 innings of the most inspiring pitching performance. And he started the trend of there would be a lot of those through the years, right? On the mound in a do or die situation. Gamecocks won 3-1 and advanced the Supers to play Stanford. But that was a number two seed. So I reject all of that. I think the big picture conversations, as JB said, can be, you know, saved for the other day. But I'll tell you this, any decisions or any kind of evaluation of a program has to be based in facts, not feelings. And I think when you dismiss facts for feelings, you know, that's when you make misevaluations as to the reality of the program and therefore make mistakes as fans by doing things that are harmful and detrimental to the program. I'll just say that and leave it at that. But I do think getting back to hosting regionals, because I didn't realize it was 5 out of 6 years they didn't host. Maybe I don't know what I was doing during that time period. You know, maybe I was having a few months of the bubbly. But I was just like, man, well, every year, you know, if Carolina wasn't hosting, that was weird. I mean, I remember they went to Georgia Tech 1 year and they won that regional, and then they lost another regional at Tech, but that was rare, you know, that Carolina wasn't hosting. So I think anytime you're trying to get back to where you were, little steps are important. And I think obviously getting hosty would be a little step, but I tell you that it's not a given that they will. It's not a given that they will host at this point, but I think like UJB, they're in pretty good shape. The metrics look very, very good. I don't think they're getting a fair shake from the D1 guys right now, especially with the most recent one, but they have previously, and those guys don't matter. The committee matters. So we'll see what happens, but it'll be really good to see a home regional at Founders again, because I know the fans will show up. It'll be a great atmosphere like it has been the last two times.
Cannot wait to watch them play tonight. This is what it's all about, man. This is why you play in the SEC for series like this. And Georgia and South Carolina set to go tonight at 8 o'clock. A few more nuggets on that series, and we got some football to dive into as well. Final quick timeout here on ITG.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Hey, Gamecock fans. This is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet. The best selection of new Chevys. The lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever, and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed.
during and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company, Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately a lot of Big Ten stopped, and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
It is the final segment here on Thursday. Still nothing with the SEC softball tournament. And Carolina baseball will be on time tonight. The rain is blowing through. Hope everybody's safe during that. It sure looks like people have been getting lit up.
Some tornadoes yesterday up here and some hail.
Yeah.
Hail, yes.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I just have to ask this question. John Edward, real quick. You every day you bash Kingston. I get it. We know you don't like him. When we have him on, why don't you show up? Because the last two times he's been here, you hadn't been here. And we know you're here every day. So why don't you just tell him? He can see it. Tell him. Why you tell us? Tell him. Come on, man. I mean, nobody wants to sit around and look at that crap every day. It's obnoxious. I mean, just stop. Nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody cares. All right? Next time King's here, you tell him what you think about him. All right.
Well, who are you gonna go get?
I mean, there's guys. I get that, but like,
you already got a guy.
Don't talk a big game, and when the dude's standing in front of you, you're scared to say something. I mean, come on, what were we in here? I mean,
well, there's one side of this conversation too that doesn't get had, and that's the changed landscape over the past 14, 15 years in college baseball relative to, I don't know, any number of things like NIL, more money being dumped into athletic programs, and a shift in the MLB philosophy on who they want in their ranks early. They're getting away from the high school players, so more of those top talents that were not available to college programs 10 to 15 years ago currently are in college and you're having to compete against them. And with the larger schools having bigger resources and more money to throw around, those players are coalescing into leagues like the SEC and ACC, making them even more daunting and a harder gauntlet to get through.
Well, I mean, it's a tougher thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm not here to make excuses for anybody. Like that's not what I'm doing. Marcus standing on his own 2 feet. I ain't doing that. No, but like, all I'm saying is, you know, like, because I don't know what days you have him on. John Edward, you follow every one of us on Twitter, and you're here every single day. And the one day that you just magically don't show up is the day that King's on. Happens every time. You really think I'm going to buy that? Come on. That's a lie. Like, it's message board BS. This is what I refer to all the time. Like, tough guy behind the keyboard, and then the guy's in front of you, and you don't have the balls to say anything. Either shut up or say something. I mean, it's a joke.
I realize Ray Tanner coached here, like, and – you have to understand, Ray Tanner, it was a Hall of Famer for a reason. Nobody's going to really have his magic. They may have their own magic. Most coaches don't have the nose for talent that he does. Most coaches don't have the knack for motivation that he did. Most coaches don't have the gut feelings that he does. That's why a lot of coaches go by analytics, because it's just, yeah, it's a gift. It's a gift from God, right? That's God. That's not like a fire this guy and hire this guy. Mark Kingston needs good assistants to help him, and he's got them. And Mark Kingston can stand on his own 2 feet as a head coach, but he also needs players. And South Carolina does not have the best players in the league anymore. Not even close. I mean, talent-wise, they're below mid. If just raw talent, guys are going to play in the show, all that good stuff. You know, the days of Carolina being, and I don't know that they were ever overly talented, but you got to understand what you're going up against. Now, I'll say this. I believe the NIL situation, because it's doubled twice, or it's tripled in 2 years for baseball, okay? And you notice the players he's getting now are better and better and better. That combined with the fact that in college baseball, you don't have to go evaluate and promise a spot to an eighth grader anymore, which I thought that hurt Holbrook worse than anything, because how are you supposed to evaluate that early? And then you promise, and then guys get there, they're not that good, blah, blah, blah. You know, and that caused the roster to kind of tailspin for a while. I think because of that, you know, South Carolina can get back to being one of the more talented teams in the league. You don't have to be Texas talented or LSU talented or Florida talented. You got to be, you know, top half. Like Spurrier said, you get close and then let the ball bounce where it may. And you know, the 33-15 with a middle of the pack talent wise team ahead of teams like Vandy and Florida and LSU and maybe Mississippi State, even that have probably, you know, just as much or more talent than they do. And so, no, you can't out talent anybody in this league because everybody's got players, but you do have to have to be a dominant team within the league, i.e., you know, you do have to put together a good roster. You know, Kentucky is an outlier this year. They've just had a special season. That could have been South Carolina, quite frankly, last year. So, well, yeah, Cole and Ethan are good.
Yeah, but we're having two different conversations here. I'm not talking about anything that the baseball team is doing. I don't care. All I was saying is the one fan
that goes up needs to be here.
Y'all, we're getting way too in the weeds on this. Like, I'm not talking about how to build teams and this and the other. Yeah, whatever. I'm talking about the fact that there's one fan every day that shows up in our chat box and rails on the head coach of the baseball team and then magically doesn't show up the days that he's. I just want to know why. Like, why are you so tough? And then the guy's here and you sit here and tell me, well, I didn't know he was on. You're here every day.
He's building. He's building his argument. That's exactly what it is. No, I get
like,
it.
I get it.
I know the who you're going to get isn't was. Yeah, that was my context. There was like mid season. I understand that this is a premier baseball program, and you could throw the money around to get just about anybody you want to come coach here.
I'm just literally. I'm just calling somebody out. Like I don't. Yeah, I'm not trying to get into the weeds of how to build a baseball program. Like we're talking. Like we're going in circles here. Like this is crazy. All I'm saying is there's a dude every day that shows up and bashes our coach. And when he's here, he is nowhere to be found. I want to know where he's at when the guy's here. He can say it right then and there.
You know what? I'll tag him the next time Coach Kingston comes on. That way there will be no excuses.
I guess what bothers me is this, kind of the same way with the basketball fans when Frank was here, when they would have a bubble team, clearly a bubble team, right? So there's a lot to play for because you want to get, you want to fight and claw and scratch and get behind your team and will them to the NCAA tournament, right? Well, they play like Alabama at home, critical game, could put them on the next four out or something like that. 3,000 people show up, you know, and Alabama would win and you'd lose or whatever. I think the same thing with baseball, to a lesser extent with a minority of the baseball fan base, is, you know, it doesn't matter. And that's kind of scary. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on with the team. You're obsessed with wanting some mythical change. And it's just not the appropriate time for it when your team's sitting there at 33-15. And as I pointed out, you know, South Carolina could get hot. Georgia and Tennessee could get cold. And the Gamecocks could really make some noise the last two weekends. I mean, it's that competitive of a league. Anything can happen. That's why it's good to be in the SEC and bad to be in the SEC, you know? And I still am not convinced this team has played its best series of the year. I'm not convinced Vandy was the apex.
No.
And so that's still to be determined. So when we're sitting here with this in front of it, you know, and the team's won six out of its last eight ball games, the extra angst and consternation kind of confuses me a little bit. I don't understand. I think if you're ever going to be a winner in any sport around here, it's time to let things go in the past and focus on the present and then worry about the future when the present is done. And it's time to look to the future, i.e. the off season. I think that's what's, you know, not having that kind of collective attitude is what kills you and causes something that can turn around to not. So I put it like that.
Well, yeah. Hopefully they can go out there tonight and get a start to a bunch of wins to wrap up the season. We got to wrap up this program. It's 2 o'clock and we're out of time. And
epic conversations today with our guest.
I love it. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I was looking forward to hearing. I talked to Chad earlier this week on the phone about Chin Music and stuff, and I'm excited about the future of that show and that product here on Chief Sports Network.
Yeah, that's a good one. Love it.
We got a lot of stuff coming, that's for sure. Thanks to Chad Holbrook, Debbie Antonelli, and Derek Scott, and Mad Dog, and Schubert. 8 o'clock tonight, 7:45 airtime with, you're not going to love the broadcast team on ESPN2. I would highly suggest turn on the radio. Derek and Stuart got you covered at 7:45. See you tomorrow on ITG.